I cheated. A client who'd been to see me in the past was returning for a second reading and bringing her mother. For some reason this day, I wasn't feeling all that confident in my mediumistic abilities. So I did something I've never, ever done before. I looked back at my notes from a previous reading. During message circles and individual readings, I use a notebook like this, and while I'm bringing through spirit people, I write down things that come through for me. A name, I'll draw if I see a tattoo, some other symbol that comes through. And then afterwards, when the reading is over, I circle in red what was a hit. I'll put a question mark over something that the client was sort of able to connect with, but not really crisply and clearly. And I'll put an X over something that was a total miss. And then I give myself a grade. This was an A. I don't know why I do this. It helps me to progress. But I have never looked back at this. And I have a lot of repeat clients, and I've never even been tempted to look back. I make it a point to forget every client who comes to see me, every reading I have, and every spirit person who comes through. Partly because I want to make sure that I'm not working from my memory, but because the spirit people are my clients too, and I want to serve them when they show up. And if I'm working from my memory, that can kind of crowd the present experience out. I've had clients come to my door, and I extend my hand and say, "Nice to meet you," and they say, "Oh, I've been here 3 times. Oops, okay. But I do that on purpose, and I let my clients know, and it's sort of a joke. So I've never looked back. And a little part of me feels like it's a little unethical, too. It probably isn't really, but I feel like it is. But on this day, I looked back. And I cannot tell you why I did it, except to say that I woke up with a really bad case of imposter syndrome. You know what that is, right? So I told myself a little lie. I said, "I'm going to look back, but this is going to help me. I'm going to look back at Tanya's earlier reading, and this will be my signal to the spirit people that I want to talk to them. This is how I'll alert them to the fact that we're all going to get together in an hour or so." What a load of crap. And on more than one level of my mind, I knew this. So I flipped back through the pages of the previous notebook till I found Tanya's reading. And I didn't remember anything about her. I didn't remember what she looked like. I didn't remember anything about her reading, but I found her because at the top of each page I write the client's name or where the message circle is and the date. So I flipped back, I found Tanya's, and I saw, she came with a friend. And this was an A-plus reading. The page was covered with red circles. There wasn't a question mark or an X throughout the whole thing. So I was looking at her page and pretty certain, these red circles belong to Tanya, these red circles belong to her friend. I thought, I know, I remember Tanya now, I remember who her spirit people were. I was feeling really confident, so it made my feelings of insecurity go away. And when Tanya and her mother came and sat down and we began our reading, I turned the recorder on and began our reading, and I completely just bounced. It was awful. I did not, I'm bringing through these spirit people, I'm reciting all these spirit people who I knew connected to Tanya. She couldn't identify one of them. Well, I thought, oh boy, I'm in real trouble here. I was failing so badly, I've only done this twice in my entire life. I offered to end the session after about 15 minutes, and we were. I offered to end the session and, not take any money. But Tanya was enthusiastic. She wanted to continue, probably because she had an A-plus reading with me the last time she was with me. So I said, all right. And I closed my eyes, and I threw myself at the feet of God, and I begged for mercy. I said, "Heavenly One, you take over. I don't deserve it, but please, take over this reading." And after a minute or two, my mind cleared, and I became aware of spirit people who were actually there. But I was bringing them through very tentatively. So, and I did all right. But by the end of our reading, I could tell Tanya's mother was completely underwhelmed. Tanya was happy because I think, again, I suspect it's still because she had had such a good reading with me before. What a lesson. Man, I will never cheat again. What made me do that? If I thought my confidence was low before that reading, it was rock bottom after that. And I didn't have another client for a few hours, so I got to sit with this miserable feeling. And I dragged up this feeling. I looked squarely at this elephant in the room, and I said to myself, "You cheated. And you know you cheated." And looking honestly at that allowed me to arrive at a more genuine understanding of what real success is. You see, I had an idea that I knew what success was. My ego and my conscious mind knew exactly what success looks like. But that was a lie. It was a big fantasy, I told myself. And it wasn't success, and it didn't result in success. The most astonishing A-plus readings I have, the ones filled with the red circles, are when my ego is not involved at all. These are moments in my sessions where I don't even seem to be present, where I completely dissociate from my conscious thought process, where I seem to be observing myself, getting impressions and just saying them. I'm listening as well as the client. These are perfect moments when I bypass my conscious, rational thought process altogether. They're moments when I feel like God is present and the smaller part of me is crowded out, quieted down. And that's why I circle those successes, those hits in my notebook. It's not a testament to my success. It's a testament to my ego's absence, to the presence of God, being in the service of God. It's a testament to connection and to inspiration. The term inspiration is found only once in the New Testament of the Holy Bible, in 2 Timothy's verse 3, chapter 16. Every scripture inspired of God is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction, which is in righteousness. And the term inspiration comes from a Greek compound word, theopneustos. This is a two-part word, theo meaning God, and neustos meaning breathe. So inspiration means God breathed. When I surrender to God's version of success, I'm inspired, and I speak the divine parent's success, not my own ego's ridiculous version of what success is. And that's one of the reasons why, quite a while ago, I stopped meditating before readings, before message circles, because I found I wasn't really clearing my mind. My active conscious mind was really getting engaged. Okay, who's going to come, and what are they props? She sounds really upset. Did she lose her husband? Did she sounds young, so there must be a young... I would start to go through this process, like what's going to be a successful reading with this person? And I'd start to think about it too much. So now, for quite some time now, I don't really meditate at all anywhere within the proximity, time proximity of a reading. I just busy myself right up to the moment of the reading with anything, washing the dishes, answering emails, reading, watching TV, anything. Because when my chatterbox ego is not involved, God's success can enter. The lies we tell ourselves stand in the way of success because they stand in the way of God. If I think I know the best thing for myself, I can't hear God's word. I can't be inspired. But the ego hates to let go of control, doesn't it? Our minds successfully use fear, envy, comparison, judgment, and self-esteem to trick us into creating a big lie, a big fantasy, The ego tricks us into believing that if we surrender to God, we're losing control and risking failure. And I fell for that trick the other day. Friday night at my message circle, I had a guest, and he acknowledged his grandfather in spirit who came through. And this guest wanted answers. He wanted assurances that he was on the right career path. Apparently, the grandfather had the same career that my guest has now. I don't know what it was. And he was pressing me, pressing the grandfather in spirit, for answers about a current dilemma he was having. And as spirit people often are, this grandfather was a little cagey and evasive. Yet the guest continued to press me for answers. And the grandfather said, "Deal with the elephant in the room. Look honestly at yourself. Bring everything up for examination that is deep in your own heart." The grandfather said, "Why are you on this path? Look at your calling. It may change, or it may be changing, or the path to it may change." And my guest replied, he had no idea what the grandfather was talking about, and this wasn't the answer to his question anyway, and he pressed him again, "What am I supposed to do? Tell me how to deal with this." And the grandfather in spirit said to him, "I've gone through this. I've gone through the same struggles you're having over the course of my life, and I work them out. And now you want a cheat sheet? You want the crib notes? You can't have it. This is your life. You have to work this out yourself. I already did that work. This is your job now." The grandfather said, "Slow down. Listen for inspiration and stop trying to figure everything out." As you can imagine, my guest wasn't much mollified by this information. And he said things to me like, "Oh, my grandfather wouldn't say that. He never talked like that. He would help me." Even though all the other family members in the room were nodding enthusiastically and going, "Yeah, that's right." My guest was so sure that he knew what form the answers would come in that he couldn't hear this very inspirational message. He couldn't get it, but I got it. Because this happened after my little cheating episode. There's so much guidance when we are open to God's word and open ourselves to inspiration. There is no failure when we listen to God. There's only failure when we believe the lies we tell ourselves. And that elephant in the room is a gift from God. The ego says, ignore it. But God says, look here. If you wonder why you're not getting any traction on your dreams and goals, look right here. I lied to myself. As Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. I don't believe in the devil, but I believe in the ego, and the ego is real as hell, believe me. My ego made me focus on fear, made me believe for a moment that I was alone in this, and oh, by the way, I wasn't enough. And I fell for it, and fortunately, the consequences were immediate and painfully clear. I know if I should feel that fear again, if I should wake up with imposter syndrome again, I'm going to skip over the whole lying to myself business and get right to the part where I throw myself at God's feet and beg for mercy, where I ask, "Heavenly One, please, you take over." Amen.